Good morning.
You know, I was thinking about some things on the way up here. You know, it's amazing that all the time, all the people that I've known here for just years and years, that just keep on keeping on. You know, the Bible talks about giving honor, you know, to the weaker vessel and stuff. And I was thinking about that and how that the women in this church, it's amazing to me the faith that they have. When you stop and think about the women, they're just silent. They do their job. They do it in silence. They don't try to out-teach the men. They don't try to take over. They just follow in obedience. And what's so amazing about that is the faith that they have. Being weak, the Bible says, they're the weaker vessel. And it says give honor to them. You know, I thought about the years when I married that woman back there coming in the door. You know, she had her place and it was just paid for. There was nothing owed on that place, not a dime, you know. She had a new car, nothing owed on that. I had land and had a place, there was nothing owed on that. I had made great money, I was doing really good. We had stocks and bonds. She had about $80,000 in the bank. And I remember going to a Baptist church, how that, you know, I just laid all bunch of money on the bed, and I told my wife, man, looky there. All you got to do is just believe. Look at all the money that we have. And then I learned rightly dividing. Gave away every TV that we had. We had a brand new TV in every room of the house. I gave away every TV in the house, and my wife never fought me. I gave away every coat that I had, because I read in the book of Matthew over there that if you had two coats, you give your brother one. And if you seen your brother needed something, to give him. And I was giving away stuff just left and right. And she started worrying a little bit. Later on, she told me about that. She never said nothing about that at first. She never said, no, you shouldn't do that, or none of that kind of stuff. She just was in silence, and she seen I was trying to serve the Lord. So we end up selling that house. But I talked her into quitting her job. Now listen, that woman right there went to school. Her job where she worked at paid for her college. She went to college, went to school to better herself, had a position in the company, and I talked her into quitting. I said, listen, we need you at home. Our kids need you at home. They need a breakfast in the morning and in the evening. They need somebody to help them with their homework and stuff. Like. And she liked 6 months being able to get a pension. And I talked her into quitting, and she quit. Then you know what I did? I quit my job. Can you imagine what she went through? Can you imagine what the women they go through in this church? Well, Kathy's been drugged all over the United States. Just drugged right in behind Jerry, hasn't she? You talking about faith, the women in here. And what they do, that's faith. That's amazing to me that women do that. God is a weaker vessel. You put me out in Birmingham somewhere, and the slums are in Birmingham, I might make it. You put her out there, it's going to be bad. So in her position, you know, that's amazing to me, the women and what the women do here. Their faith. The people in Chattanooga in this church, it's went on for years. This is the faith right here. The faithful in Christ Jesus I'm talking to. So, with that in mind, look in Philippians. I just had to say that. I had to get that off my chest. In Philippians, chapter 2. I eventually wanted to get around to talking to you something I know something about, and that's the flesh. I've been in this for 63 years, and it's been tearing at me the whole time. In Philippians, chapter 2. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man look on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch. Whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now this word humbled, Jesus Christ humbled himself. Now, that's our example, as it is, the humbling that he gave when he died at Calvary. And every individual here that ought to humble right there. What Christ did at Calvary ought to humble you. And it ought to humble you every time you open this book. It ought to humble you. That word humble is like made close or low, made real low, like next to the ground. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, because Christ completely, like Brother Moore said one time, divested himself of everything that he was. He humbled himself. And if there be any bowels of mercy between us and our fellowship that we have, every time I look at an individual in here that's trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior, I should see him as a person that Jesus Christ loved so much that he gave himself at Calvary for, and he died, and he gave everything that he had. I ought to look at that person like that. Every time I see that person, I ought to see him in that light. But you know something? I got a feeling that some people don't look at the other people like that. They only look at themselves. And they don't get a good view of themselves. I think to get a good view of yourself, you have to see you the way God sees you. Like I've heard this one guy say one time, you know, between 1 and 10, I see myself as 9. But God sees me as 0. See, you know, you need to see every individual the way that God sees them, and see yourself the way that God sees them, and see what Christ did for those individuals in order to humble you. Now, I want to talk to you about some things about the flesh and also some things about his death. You know, it says in verse 6, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ was in the form of God. Now, how was he in that form of God? Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 3. Whom being in the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself and purged our sins. But what I'm wanting you to see is as whom being in the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person. I believe Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God's person. In other words, he had no sin. He did no sin. God expressed himself and the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ came. But you know, he was in the image of God. He was in a form of God. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And when I look at this, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve, when they were first made, created, were in the image of God. They had power over the whole earth. Jesus Christ, one time they asked him, said, do you pay tribute to Caesar? He told one of his disciples, he said, go down into the sea, and there'll be a fish down there at sea, and he'll come up with a gold coin. Bring me that gold coin. You know Jesus Christ told that fish to get that coin. He had power over the fish. He was in the image of God, like God has the power over everything. Why, he made man in his own image, he said. And Adam and Eve, to begin with, I believe Adam could move things with his mind. Just as Jesus Christ walked up to that fig tree and he wasn't bearing forth fruit, Jesus Christ said to that fig tree, be thou removed, and it withered right away. I believe Adam and Eve back there were in the image of God back there, and they could have seen that fig tree and say, wither, get out of the way. That Jupiter tree that whenever Jonah was sitting there, that Jupiter tree growed over Jonah, gave him shade. I mean, nature itself paid attention to him. God Almighty, I believe that nature paid attention to Adam and Eve back there, and they were made in the image of God, but there's something that entered in. There's something that changed every bit of that. Look in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, in other words, there's a time for this. They know this. In process of time, he says, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Now watch, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." You know, when I look at the Gospel of Paul, you know what Paul does? Paul reveals this. Paul reveals what sin is. You see, I look at sin. I deal with sin all the time in my body. And me and my brother used to ride around all the time, you know, and I'd get mad, you know what? Brian Sipes ain't the only one to get mad when somebody pulls in front of him. You know, I get angry and stuff like that there and say a few choice words. My brother say, "That's that old man." Now, it'd make me mad, my brother telling me that. But I realize what it was. It's that old man. It's sin that's within me. You know, and you can see it right here. It is in Genesis chapter 4. It has to do with sin that's within every one of us here today. And I want you to see, hopefully, for us all over with, that your enemy is not the religious system. Your enemy is your flesh. Your enemy is not your brother that's out there that teaches some other doctrine that's not exactly like you. That ain't your enemy. Your enemy is your flesh. And we have to fight with that every day. And for you to recognize that is for you to have a tool. And Paul, that's what the law was given for. You see, the Bible says, well, if I heard it on the internet or something like that there, about the curse of the law. It said, well, if you're not underneath the curse of the law, then you don't die. That ain't what the law was given for, so you wouldn't die. And if you wasn't underneath that curse, you wouldn't die. The law was given to show you this. It was given to show you what sin was. Look in Romans chapter 3. And Paul brings this out in Romans chapter 3. And buddy, it gets me sometimes. And I catch myself. I catch myself being angry. I catch myself wanting to fight back. Somebody say some little something to me, and I get all bent out of shape. I mean, just like gritting my teeth, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? This is my brother. This is the one that the Lord died for at Calvary. You see, flesh is our problem. And we let flesh get in the way. And I read a scripture, I think it was in 2 Corinthians, and when Paul said to bring every thought of the imagination under control. You ever tried that? I read stuff in the Bible and sometimes I think, I'm going to try that. You know, I tried that for 3 months. And I tried thinking about every thought that I first when I met somebody. When I walked up to you and I just met you, I started talking to you. Maybe I didn't know you or something. I just started just talking to you. And I started thinking, what's my first thought? And it took me 3 months to finally get where I can, you know, what my first, you know what it was? It was bad. That's amazing to me. It was bad. My first thought was bad. I had to turn it around. I was sitting in the doctor's office knowing this and just got through doing all this. And so I started talking about the Lord. I switched the conversation around, started talking about the Lord, and I watched people's faces. You know, I didn't all do this kind of just oh, God. I mean, and thought, well, this is a religious idiot. You know? And so I started talking about this very same thing. And as we was talking, they got to realizing it, and they got to seeing it. I said, look here, when I first started talking to you, I said, you were staring at the wall over there, wasn't he? He said, yeah, I was. I thought you was a religious idiot. Hey, listen, we all have that. It's all in every one of us. But we see it. Why do we see it? Romans chapter 3, look at verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. I don't even have to read it, really. For whatsoever thing the law saith, for we know that what thing soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law is like a mirror. The law shows you this, and it shows you what you are. You are a sinner, and it lies at the door. It's right there with you every day when you get up. I get myself up some mornings, and I get to thinking about all stuff that I got to do, and I get to going, woe is me. And then I think about, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and my whole day changes. And that's what it is. You see that. You see that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. We're all the same. The law shows us that. It's like a mirror. It shows you sin, but it don't get rid of the sin. It's like having dirt on your face. You look in the mirror, you see the dirt on your face, but the mirror don't take it off. The mirror just shows you that it's there. That's what the law is. Now look what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 over here. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, look at verse 13. Okay, just come down and look at verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment, slew me, and by it slew me, or deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. What then? Which is good made death unto me? Now watch. Who forbids that? God forbids that, don't he? He won't allow that. That ain't becoming death to you. But you know what it does? It shows you what sin is. Look what he says over here. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, and sin by the commandment made become, now watch that. I like that word right there. Exceedingly sinful. You see, a lot of people don't see how exceedingly sinful they are. They don't see that which is working in them from Adam. They don't see that they're just as sinful as anybody else. We're all the same. There ain't none of us no different. But there are some people who like think they are, don't they? I think that they're just a little bit better. I got a hat I like to wear. Sometimes it says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And that people actually think that, see? Well, there are no favorites with Christ. Amen. We're all the same. Amen. And for you to look at somebody else and favor them, it's not to realize what Christ did for them and did for you. He cared just as much for them as he did you. That's the way the Lord wants us to operate. You know what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? What time, how much was the clock, Steve? Okay. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know what he said? Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. He said, for the love of Christ, you see that? Constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. You see that? The love of Christ, it constraineth us. Well, you know what binds us all together? What holds the whole body of Christ together? Why, it's the love of Christ. That's what constrains us. See, it should constrain you. When you see somebody that's trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, instead of railing on them, why don't you look at them like Christ did? Now, it should constrain you what Jesus Christ did for you. He did it for them. But you see, the flesh is exceedingly simple, ain't it? It just sticks its, like Brother Moore used to say, sticks its little chicken breast out there and just crows. That's what we want to do. We want everybody to see what we are, you know, in Christ. Well, they're just the same. There are no difference. Well, they're just the same. And by you doing that, it causes divisions. Causes divisions. You know, when I look back, I'm always running out of time. That's the way life is, isn't it? I'm running out of time and getting older and older. I don't have time to fix things no more. It's just run out of time. Look back at Numbers chapter. Look at Numbers chapter 22. No, I'm sorry. I'm just going to find it. I think it's Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Good, I got that written down somewhere. I knew I'd forget it. Okay. Numbers chapter 22. I know it, sir. Numbers chapter 22. Yeah, I've got it in another place. Let me just give me a second. So I won't. I wrote notes, people, for this very same reason. I do this in Bible studies. I say, oh, I'll get it next week. I mean, what can you do, my friend? Numbers chapter 20. Look at Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, look at verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down unto Egypt, and we had dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptian vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, and a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink out of water of the wells. We will go into the king's highway. You know, I mentioned that one time, the king's highway, and some people went crazy over that. Because, you know, if you look at the king's highway there, it's in three different words, isn't it? And they couldn't. They said, that's not in the Bible. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, there it is. It's the king's highway. And you'll find this highway in the book of Isaiah. I remember one time, I read somewhere in here where it's talking about, you know, doctor asked an unlearned question. So I'm studying the second coming of Christ. I'm studying David being resurrected at Mount Nebo. I'm studying about the Antichrist where he goes up in the Jezreel up there. And he's gathering all nations up there and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm studying all that, but I'm looking in Ezekiel and I just can't quite get things to fit together. So I'm studying my brains out because Brother Moore couldn't come over. So he comes over and sits on my couch. And I said, Brother Moore, there's some things I can't figure out here. And I knew if he answered me and I didn't study on it, I wouldn't understand what he said. So I studied on it real hard. And I said, I can't put these things together. Not happening. And I said, at the last in Armageddon, he said, what makes you think that's the last, Jen? And I said, do what? He said, what makes you think that that's the last Armageddon? You see, that's what they put on TV, ain't it? I mean, that's the last thing that happens, ain't it? Armageddon? No, Armageddon happens up here. David comes in to take Jerusalem. The Antichrist hears about it. It's a type of that in Sennacherib over there in the Old Testament. And then the Antichrist hears about it. He takes off back towards Jerusalem, and there's an angel that comes down, and he has a chain. And he takes the chain and he chains Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then he destroys the nations that come up against him. You see, the Armageddon is not the last thing. You know? And it's a king's highway. That's in Isaiah. You can follow them. You can follow him when he comes from Bozrah. And it's a king's highway. Well, that king's highway, there's a place over there now. I'm going to say this is a Mediterranean Sea here. This over here is Euphrates River over here. The Nile, he brings them through the Red Sea. And as he said in the passage over here, they know what has happened to Israel. They've been in bondage for 400 years over here. Been in bondage over here. And like it says in the past, you know what's happening, and he has sent us an angel. You see, that's an angel leading them. And there's a pillar of fire, as it is by night, and a dark cloud by day, leading the children of Israel. And so he's telling these Amorites over here, he said, listen, when we come through your land over here, he said, when we come through, he said, we will not go into your wells. We will not go into your fields and stuff. And we will, he said, we will just want to pass through on the king's highway. And that's the oldest trade route in the world. And they're still using it today. And it's going to be used again in the second coming. And they said, listen, we will not vary from this. We will stay on the road, and we'll only take on each side of the road what we have to take for us to live. And you know something? When I first read this, it just blowed my mind. I read it back here. You know, he caused 11 plagues to fall upon the Egyptians. It killed all the Egyptians' cattle, made boils go. He done everything to the Egyptians, and here are these Jews over here sipping tea. That's bad, man. You know? And so when God got ready for them to leave, you know what he told them? He said, borrow all the silver and gold that you can't get from the Egyptians. How do you think about that golden calf? He said, borrow it all. And I'm sitting there thinking, he told them to borrow it all, he's going to take them out tomorrow? They ain't going to pay it back. I got thinking, that ain't right. You know, if you borrow something, you got to pay it back. I got thinking, what's this deal here, you know? I thought about that for years, and finally I got to thinking, you know, he didn't get the money back from what they had him in slavery for 400 years. And he just getting the money back, it was owed to him. I got thinking, well, maybe I ought to do that if somebody tried to beat me. You know, and what happened was they had silver and gold. And when they started coming through the land on the king's highway over here, they said, listen, we will not go into your take over your cities or anything like that. What we will do, we will pay you for what we eat from the sides of your road. They're going to pay their way. God Almighty made a way that they could pay their way through there. And that angel of the Lord, as it was going before them, when they said, no, you're not coming through, because that's exactly what happened. No, we will not let you through. And the Bible says, before them looked like paradise, but behind them looked like Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they wouldn't let them through there, God Almighty said, kill everything that breathes. Don't leave nothing behind. You know why he said that? Because of the flesh. You know what them people would have done? They would have wanted to get even. Because that's the way the flesh is, ain't it? You know, and so here they go through here, and they get over here, and they get to a place over here, old Balak over here. Old Balak, he sees them coming. He is scared out of his mind. And so he goes to Balaam. He knows Balaam's a prophet of the Lord. And so when he goes to Balaam, he says, Balaam, I want you to curse the children of Israel. And Balaam said, I can't do that. Well, he sent gold. Balaam said, I still can't do that. He sent more. And Balaam said, that looks pretty good. So old Balaam takes off to go do that. When he gets over there, old Balaam goes up on a mountain and comes back and says, I told you, Balak. So he goes up again and says, I told you, Balak, he's not going to do that. And so finally, old Balaam tells Balak, I tell you how you can get the Lord to destroy them. Calls them to commit adultery, to fornication. And so he sends the women into the camp and gets the women to lay with the men and gets them to worship another god. You see, Satan is using the flesh. Yes, sir. He's using the flesh. Listen, Satan can't touch me. There's nothing he can do to me. But boy, I tell you, he gets you to use use that flesh, see, and try to destroy the works of God. All the way through your Bible, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to use the flesh to destroy the Word of God. That's what he tried to use with Adam, is the flesh. Don't let him use your flesh to destroy the Word of God. The only way he can break this assembly up is for us to get in the flesh. While we all preach Paul's gospel and we all say the same thing, we won't have no problem. But when you get in the flesh, that's when everything just goes to hell. And you know something? They were coming up through here. Man, they were fighting some war, wasn't he? I said, you know, if God fought the war over there, you know, when he went over there and left nothing breathing, you'd have people say, well, I don't think I'm going to mess with the United States. Like, I'm going to leave them alone. Because he said, one will put 10 to flight. 10 will put 100 to flight. He said, 100 will put 1,000 to flight. When they came into the land over here, they sent men in there to spy that land out. And they came back and said, we can't go in there and take that land because we be as grasshoppers. There's giants in that land. You know, we can't do that, you know. And Joshua and Caleb took one cluster of grape. One cluster of grape. Now, on a pole, a cluster of grape on a pole. Have you seen the pictures of Jerusalem? Well, there ain't nothing but sand and rock over. People say, I want to go to Jerusalem. You got to be kidding me. There ain't nothing there. Land of milk and honey, you're living in it. And you know, the thing about all that, and I lost track of what I was going out there. That happens a lot too. the thing about it over here, it's later on down the road. There's this thing called the Amorites. What they done was that they snuck up behind Israel. They're type of the flesh. Before you know it, it sneaks up behind you. You don't even know it. It's so quick. You know, it's there. But the law makes it exceedingly simple. You know what you are, I do too. But you know something? The love of Christ and what he did at Calvary should constrain you. You let that be your guide. What he did for you, he did it for those others too. You know something? You can't go wrong with that. You know, Paul said, I've begotten you through the gospel. You're begotten through that gospel. Use that gospel. But use the gospel. Forget about all what Israel did and all that kind of, you know, that's for our learning and understanding. But that wouldn't save an elephant drowning in a mud puddle. And you're just wasting your time, and that's what Satan would like for you to do, is dwell upon the things of the flesh. Leave it alone. Stick with what Paul said. And look at your brethren like Christ did. Amen.